Ultimate Singleness, episode 68.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here are your hosts, Tom DeLong and Joshua Erickson.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thriving in Singleness. Hey, Josh, how are things going for you?
I'm great. Excited for this episode.
Yeah, it was a really awesome episode. Just a great conversation with Kayla. She has so many cool perspectives, even some that I hadn't really heard before. I mean, she talked about taking a break for dating. What did she call that?
A dating fast.
Dating fast.
Yeah, we really dove into that idea and topic, and so it'd be cool to see. Yeah, like similar. I've never heard of it. I've never really experienced, you know, I've never done it, but it's, yeah, in talking about it, it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I think some people could definitely benefit from it. There's a time and a place, and you know, just, you know, if you're unsure of where your heart is, probably a good test for that also. But yeah, I'm glad we were able to talk about that. She's just been doing some really cool stuff, and it was fun just talking about that, as well as just, you know, whether people are preparing themselves for marriage just for marriage or for themselves. You know, where's that difference in there? So definitely some cool concepts to talk about. So I'm really excited about this episode.
Yeah, it's cool to see just how every guest we have, just the experiences and just the wisdom and their story, how much it's all, like you see a little bit of what God's trying to do in a different way in each person. And it all goes down to identity. It all goes down to, you know, and she talked about it, Kayla talked about it, this kind of falling in love with God and making that the primary focus. And everyone has different experiences, but it always comes down to that. And it always comes down mm-hmm. to who has God called me to be? What has he called me to do? And, you know, with the dating fast, great. It's, I think a lot of people, I'm excited to hear how, you know, what people think about it and all that. But it's going to work for some people. It's not going to work for other people, right? Like everything after one guest after the next, there's certain things, like this is not a one size fit all. Everything we talk about, it's not one size fit all. And it's really cool to get more and more perspectives and more ideas. And, you know, everyone's going to resonate, you know, people are going to resonate with certain guests more than others. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the dating fast is a really cool idea. And I think there's some really key points that maybe someone's not going to do a dating fast, but there's definitely things they should really take away from what a dating fast is and what to focus on, what not to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. So that being said, let's go ahead and bring in Kayla. Kayla Busby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. I'm just so excited to be on this call with you guys. And yeah, really looking forward to this conversation we're going to have.
Absolutely. Blast to have you. We're really honored to have you join us for this episode. Definitely a fan of your work. You do a lot of awesome work on Instagram, a lot of fun reels, a lot of fun things to follow. So really appreciate you taking the time to join us for this. So yeah, tell us a little bit about like where you're at, what you got going on, and yeah, we'll kind of run it from there.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, it's been an interesting season. I was just telling you guys prior to this call, but it's been really cool to see God moving and how he's been growing this Instagram and growing the podcast. And I'm working on some writing projects to hopefully start publishing some books and ebooks soon. But ultimately, I'm just a follower of Jesus and someone who is just submitted to him and humbly walking him and, you know, just following after him. And sometimes he's leading me to some crazy places, and some other times it's just times to just rest and submit to him. So ultimately, that's what I am. But I also serve at a restaurant, so that's kind of a ministry on the sidelines, just sharing the gospel with the people there. But yeah, so this time in my life has been full of filming reels every single day. I actually film one day of the week, and then I post every single day. So it's a lot of filming and editing and changing different outfits, you know, and getting my theatrical side engaged. So that's fun. but I do a lot of just goofy stuff, things, you know, that's Bible stories or on church. But then I also do a lot of just serious things where I talk about singleness or talk about what it means to be a woman of God or how to dig deeper into his word. And that's also what the podcast is on as well. So yeah, that in a nutshell is kind of what Convos with Kayla is about, and just really focusing on who we are in Christ and how that affects every area of our life. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you live in Colorado. Did we cover that yet?
Yes. Yeah. Live in Colorado. Good old Rocky awesome. Mountains right outside my window.
Beautiful area.
Yeah. No, it's great. We were also talking about that prior to this. And, you know, I love Colorado, but I feel like coming to a close. I'm kind of done being here, to go out east. But no, for this time in my life and growing up here, it's been absolutely amazing. And no, I love it out here. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. And what do you like and dislike about Colorado?
Okay, I really love the mountains because I really do like hiking. I tell people, I'm like, I like hiking because I like getting to the top and I love seeing the views and the breeze and, you know, just seeing like, oh my goodness, here's the whole Rocky Mountains, but I don't like actually like hiking itself. So I'm like, am I actually a hiker? I don't know. But yeah, I love that aspect. I love our summertime. I love like the winter because we still have sunshine even in the winter. But that's part of the thing that I dislike is how much snow we get and how cold it is because I'm a wimp and I don't really like how cold it is.
All the things that I love.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like hiking but you like getting to the top, I think you'll enjoy the East Coast much more because our mountains aren't nearly as large.
Yeah.
So it's easier to get to the top.
Yeah.
The view isn't quite as good, but if getting to the top is the important part, then that's going to be easy to do.
There you go. Yeah. No, I wish I liked hiking more because it really is a great thing. And it's just like in the moment, sometimes you're like, oh, this sucks. And then afterwards it's great. But I don't know, you know, it's one of those things you just like, okay, it's not my thing. You know, every other person seems to like it, but oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
cool. So what do you think God has been teaching you lately in regards to singleness? I mean, so I know you do a podcast that focuses a lot on that. And what would you say has been just primarily on your heart?
Yeah. A big thing for me that I have realized with singleness is how easy it is to get trapped into this mindset of I am nothing and I can bring nothing to the table because I don't have a significant other. And even if you're dating, you can still have that mindset that I can't bring anything to the table because I'm not married. And that's something that the Lord has just shown me throughout the years is like, we're constantly going to be in this mindset of, okay, well, when I'm single, I am nothing and I need to get to dating. And once you get to dating, you're like, I'm nothing until I'm engaged, you know? And it's this continual process. Like even when you're married and you have a significant other, you're still in this mindset of, well, I just need to have kids now, or I just need a better job. Yeah. And so that's just something the Lord has pressed on my heart throughout the years is if we can just have this focus of seek first the kingdom of God, you know, in all righteousness. And if that is our main focus and our goal in life, like, then we're not going to constantly be on the search of significance and learning how to be enough because we're focusing on Him and His satisfaction in our life. So I don't know. That's just been something that God has taught me throughout the years, has reminded me of this year, because I choose a word every single year. And my word for this year is satisfaction and finding that satisfaction in Him. So, yeah, that kind of is just what He's been showing me about singleness.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything in particular that has helped you maybe stay in that mindset of I am enough? You know, I don't need a relationship. I don't need, and then, you know, I don't need to go down these paths to be enough where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you've seen to keep you in that mindset or something that's maybe taking you out of that mindset?
Yeah. The first two things that came to mind when you asked that question, I'm a very visual person. So I have like a little exercise that I've been doing since 2018. So about 5 years that whenever these struggles would come to mind. And I just want to say, first of all, too, I recognize how hard it is to be single. You know, I'm not quite sure your listeners of genders and ages and all of that, but like, however your journey has panned out, how old you are, no matter what gender you are, what stage of life you are in, singleness is hard. And I want to recognize that. And so anything that I share on this, like, I don't want it to come across as like, well, Kayla has it all together and singleness is just not a struggle for her, you know, because that's not true. Yeah. Like, it definitely has been a part of my story and a part of my testimony. And it's a hard thing to walk through. But yeah, so the two things that I have applied in my life and have been quite helpful throughout my life is, well, I should say three things, because the first thing is really just keeping the word of God the center of your life. Like, I have on the back of my door these scripture cards all throughout my door. Like, you know, Psalm 119, it talks about hiding the word of God in your heart. We need to take his words. We need to meditate on his words, and we need to truly just eat it up. You know, David talks about it being honey to the soul. Like, we need to eat it up and see how sweet it is and recognize that, okay, these are struggles, but how can I bring them to the feet of Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. He's the only one who's going to take that from you. And so that being your foundation. The second thing is this practice of, for me, like, I'm talking to two guys here, but I love Beauty and the Beast. It's like such a great film. And I love
that. I have my own opinion on Beauty and the Beast, but we'll get to that after you finish out what you're saying.
I like it. But yeah, so this one part where Belle walks into this library that the Beast has, and she's just in awe of all these books and in a way that could be distracting, right? But she starts climbing up this ladder to the bookshelf, and she finds this book that she's always wanted to read. So that's kind of the image that I have in my mind is, okay, I'm walking into this room, and I see all these things. I see all these distractions, and I think, Lord, this is overwhelming, or I feel alone, or, you know, whatever the thoughts that tried to come and distract me. But what I need to do is I need to take that thought and that distraction, that hardship with singleness, and I need to climb up this ladder. And I call it my God shelf. And I need to put this hardship of singleness or this desire of wanting to be married. And I put it on my God shelf. And I say, Lord, I surrender this to you. You know what's best for me. And you are trustworthy in this. And I'm going to let go. And if you want this thing or this person to come down, you're going to bring it down. But if you want that to stay up there and you don't want it a part of my life, then I trust you. And I climb back down the ladder and I leave it up there. And that just has been a daily practice that I've had to do throughout the years that has helped me truly release and surrender. And sometimes I have to do it like every 5 minutes, you know, but some other times it's a month later and I'm like, oh, wait, this is a lot easier. I need to do it right now, but I haven't thought about it for the last month. And then third, I would just say is, honestly, this is going to sound super cheesy and like Christianese, but I go on dates with Jesus. I do it about once a month. And I just ask the Lord the night before, okay, what do you want us doing? And sometimes I just go on car rides in the mountains, or other times I go to a coffee shop and just bring my Bible, or other times I go on a walk and just pray and meditate on scripture. So yeah, those three things have been just things that and practices that have really helped me when it's been a struggle.
That's really cool. So I'm gonna first like dip into my opinion on Beauty and the Beast. and then I'll kind of trail from what I gathered and what you're saying there. So for one, I watched Beauty and the Beast recently because, of course, my daughter's 3.5. That's going to start happening more and more. So, and you know, my wife, she's not over Disney movies. I don't think women ever get to be too old for Disney movies.
No.
So,
Tom, are you not a fan of Disney movies? Is that what I'm hearing?
Less lately.
Okay.
But no, continue. There's a lot of good Disney movies. But I like the princess movies. All right. So like, you know, it's like, you know, watch Beauty and the Beast. I'm pushing 35 and it's not something that I like have been seeking out to watch the past 25 years. Sure. You know, it's something that I might have watched earlier in life. And now that I'm like older, I view things differently and I'm watching Beauty and the Beast. I'm like, so this is why girls like to date jerks. Like, they're looking for this, like, beautiful man inside of the beast. And they think that's what they're going to get out of it. And it makes so much more sense now. Like, a lot of girls being raised up to believe, oh, there's good in him. Mm. There's got to be some good in him. And so, like, they're, like, dating these guys that treat them like jerks. And they think that something good is going to come out of it, like some happy little dandy Disney movie. So that's my beef with Beauty and the Beast. That's what I took away from it.
Oh,
but shifting back to what you're saying,
I have no words.
Okay. You're like, you just ruined my childhood. Back off. Satan, flee from this man. I love how you talk about how you continually surrender. You know, surrender is such a huge thing. Surrender is a huge part of my story where, you know, I was so reluctant to do it for so long. And, you know, it's different for everybody. You know, I can't expect everybody to hit that life-changing moment of finally surrendering it to the Lord after grasping onto it for so long. That's the story of many people. That's just not the story of everybody. But you mentioned about like continually giving it to the Lord, and that's something where I believe if my singleness was prolonged beyond that point, that's something that I would have been doing, where I would hit points of like, okay, like this singleness is has been cool, but man, there's parts of this that really suck, you know? And I would have to continually be going back and surrender to the Lord. Like, so what does it look like, you know, for our listeners to hear, maybe it's not something that they want to do, but they know that they have to do. It's something that they know they should do, but they don't want to do. And so they have to force themselves to do it. I mean, what does that continuous act of surrender look like? And how does it look when it's just not something that your heart is wanting you to do?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Paul talks so many times of a thorn being in his flesh. And I think about that of like, okay, if you see a thorn in your hand, you're not just going to leave it there, but immediately you're going to be like, okay, that actually hurts. That's now bugging me. I need to get this out. And you'll get the tweezers and get that out. And so that's just, I love that question that you asked that, because I think as Christians, if we're not asking those type questions, we're not going to start getting to the root of these problems. It is going to be full of Christianese. It's going to be full of just hearing stuff at the sermon pulpit and then walking away and still struggling. So I really appreciate that you had asked that question. I'm going to say that everyone's going to look different. I'm more of a feeler type person. I know there's more of the logical thinkers out there. But for me, I love journaling. Like, journaling is how I process. It's how I get things out. And it's quite helpful for me to let it all out and then just look at it and be like, oh my goodness, I was overthinking, or I was focusing on lies, or, you know, whatever it is. So journaling for me has been just a really beneficial thing throughout the years. And honestly, I'm going to say surrounding yourself with godly counsel is a big thing as well. And I'm not going to say that people that would agree with you, you know, you're sharing your struggles and people are like, oh yeah, singleness is the worst, you know, but like, find people that maybe disagree with you so that you can be challenged and convicted and go through that sanctification. It talks about in 2 Timothy, I believe, where it says to have those godly older people in your life. And I think that's really beneficial as well.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece as well. I also see in our culture where we're surrounded by romance, honestly, like you just talked about it with Disney, like we're surrounded with this idea of you have to find
you
someone.
You grow up with
You grow up with it. Right. And so I think if it really is a struggle for you, and I had to do this several times, like cut out the non-Christian romance songs out of your life. Like Taylor Swift is big right now. You may have to cut her out, honestly. You may have to take a break on the country music, you know, and you may have to take a break on the romance films and just truly read maybe different kind of Christian books, or really just focus on the word that month. That was really helpful for me. But also, I just finished it. When was it? In March. I went on a dating fast from October to March. So it's 5 months. And I just went on this fast where I wasn't going out with anyone. Even if they asked me out, it was awkward. I would have to say no. But I would also just not text guys. And that was a big time in my life where I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not constantly on the search right now to find someone. Like, I'm not walking into young adults and be like, okay, is there a Christian guy here, you know?
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, it's just you and me, Jesus. So, yeah, those were some things that have helped me throughout the years.
That's awesome. And so tell us about this dating fast that you went on. That's something I've never really heard exercised before, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to look different as well for everyone, but for me, like I said, it consisted of not going out one-on-one with guys. Even if I just saw them as a friend, I made sure not to do that as well, because sometimes you can get into flirty type mode, even if you're just friends and you're still trying to find that satisfaction from them. So I didn't go out with guys. I made sure not to text guys. Yeah, those were like the two main ones. And even when, you know, things were becoming a struggle mentally of like, oh gosh, I just want to be able to talk with my girlfriends how I'm interested in this guy. Like, then that was the time as well. I had to take a break from romance in general on that fast as well, you know, the songs, the movies, TV shows, whatever. So yeah, that was a time where it really was just about following.
Yeah. And what was the purpose of that, and what was the outcome?
Yeah, and that was the purpose, was falling more in love with Jesus and really just being able to come back to this place of focusing on the cross. Because I think that's a thing that, especially as girls, you can get very distracted with all of these thoughts and these worries and lies, whatever. But I had to come back to this place of, no, like, Jesus needs to be my first love. Like, he needs to be my beloved. He needs to be my everything. That's not a, he kind of needs to be my everything. No, he needs to be my everything. And I really had to come to this place as well as really just meditating and dwelling on Matthew 6:33, which says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness. And so I had to come back to this place of, how can I seek first? How can I keep my eyes above instead of looking around and falling more in love with Jesus? And so then that was the outcome after the fast, is I wasn't constantly on the search whenever I was going to church or work or wherever, but I was just in love with the Lord. And I knew that, okay, whatever he had planned for me today was his best for me instead of my best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about doing a dating fast and kind of what goes, what that looks like. Are there any indicators that you saw that were really something that, that stood out to you on, oh, I should do a dating fast because of this? Like, if someone's looking to do that, is there anything that they can look for in their own life that maybe points to, hey, maybe I should take a step back from dating, kind of look into maybe focusing on not really, if I walk into a room looking for someone or talking to people or really focusing on that? Is there anything that you stood out to you?
Yeah, I would say there's multiple things. The first thing is really, yeah, if you are walking into a room and that is your first thought, is my future husband or my future wife here? Or I'm going to go talk to this group of people, or, oh, that person leading worship is really attractive, I'm going to go talk to them afterwards. Like, if that is your constant thought of, you know, just, I need to go talk to this person to see if we would date or they'd be my future spouse, I would say then you're starting to really idolize finding someone. And then that is when it's becoming your significance and your identity. And that's when you probably need to take a step back and really start falling in love with Jesus more and in more of an intimate way, right? And so I would say that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think if you're really just looking at your friends who are on Instagram and then just found someone that they're going to date, you know, or an engagement post just got out, or maybe you're part of a bridal party in a wedding, like, if that's your thought of, man, is there ever someone out there for me? Like, I don't believe life is anything right now and worth living for. If that's your mindset too, whenever you're seeing those type things, then I really would suggest start taking a step back and maybe going on that fast as well. The reason I went on a fast is because I went through a really hard breakup where I was idolizing that guy and where I was lusting that guy. And so when the breakup happened, it was like, woe is me. Like, I'm going through the worst trial of my life. Like, what is God doing? You know, all these thoughts. And so that's originally why the Lord led me to go through that dating fast. So that could be something as well, that you're going through a hard breakup and you want to make sure you're not rebounding, because a lot of people do that after breakups. And so you may want to do a dating fast to make sure your heart's in the right place before you start dating again. So yeah, those are some of the things that I've had to process and be like, okay, my heart is not healthy right now. We need to take care of this before, you know, I walk into a different type of situation or whatever it is. And we need to heal this with the Lord.
That's really good. I think you really touched on, if there's indicators that show that that relationship will become an idol in your life, then you need to, like, that'd be a good time to do a dating fast to say, this relationship or any relationship might not be healthy for me right now, because if I get it, it might sidetrack me from what God's trying to do in my life. I know in my own past relationships, I remember I would get into a relationship and I'd put everything that God had for me on the back burner. Like, I was still following God and I was still, like, really focused on what God wanted me to do, but it wasn't quite as important. And there was big things in my life, big decisions I made, big directions I went, that I kind of had to be single at the time to do that, because I wasn't doing it when I was in a relationship. And that was something for me that I'm very grateful that God was willing to close the door on relationships to get me to where I wanted to be in the end. But at the time, I wanted a relationship more than that. Mm-hmm. And it all goes down to idolizing a relationship more than what God has for you. And I think everything you were kind of saying really points to, will this relationship, if I get it, or the relationship I'm seeking, will it become something that it shouldn't be in my life? Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And I would back off or add on to that and say, like, truly, if you are stopping this kingdom work that God has placed on your heart so that you could be in a relationship, so that you can be this person that your dating wants you to be, or so that you can really start becoming a different kind of person, so that you're really attracting someone, you know, that's when it gets really dangerous, honestly, because God has created us all individually to be different people from each other. And immediately once you put that kingdom work off to the side, or immediately when you're stopping and trying to be someone that God hasn't created you to be, someone that you're not, then that's when you, like you were saying, you really need to take that step back and realize, like, I am idolizing this, and this is not where God is leading me, because I do need to continue walking out in the giftings that he's given me, and I need to continue being this person that he's created me to be. I mean, what was the whole reason he died for us on the cross? It was out of love. It was out of to save us. It was out of wanting to bring us redemption and restoration. It wasn't so that we could find someone, or so that we could become someone to impress someone. It was so that he could have intimacy with us. So yeah, I love that you brought that up. That was really good.
Now, when you were on your dating fast, were you having a lot of guys that were actively trying to pursue you at that time? Like, I feel like oftentimes we generate more attractiveness when we're not chasing after something. And I feel like that would be a natural cause for that. And for one, like, mm-hmm. what did you say to people, to any guys that might've been pursuing you, and how did they handle that?
Yeah. It was funny because when I first originally started this fast, like I said, it was after a hard breakup that I'd gone through. So I was personally thinking, like, well, this is the perfect time because there aren't any suitors in my life. Like, I'm just coming out of a hard relationship. I don't think guys would reach out to me and be like, hey, you're available now, you know? So I was like, okay, this would be perfect timing for that. But then on the other hand, I was like, okay, but if I go on a dating fast now, like, Christmas is coming up, what if then I don't have a guy for Christmas and I get all the questions from my relatives? Or, you know, what if I go to church in a few weeks and there's this amazing guy and then I tell him I'm on a dating fast and he leaves? Like, I was really scared of that rejection and losing someone. And that's something that the Lord just made me realize again and again and again is, Kayla, if you're following me in obedience, if you're surrendered to me, and if you're trusting me, I'm going to take care of the rest. Like, you don't have to worry about a guy leaving you because you were on this fast. And so that's just something that I had to keep coming to is, okay, Lord, I trust you with this. I'm going to release this. You're going to allow something or not allow something because I'm being surrendered to you. And so I had to just be surrendered to him. There was then, once I started this fast, there were several guys that were starting to reach out to me, and there were a few times that I went out with a guy thinking, okay, this is only hanging out with friends, and then it actually was a date. So there were a couple mistakes that I made with that. And then afterwards, I had to come to realize, like, oh, I was making excuses in my mind. I was saying, oh, we're just friends. It's not a date, when the Lord has clearly said, don't go out with guys. And so I had to realize there's grace in that, and when I'm weak, he's strong, kind of thing. And so, yeah, there were a lot of various temptations in that sense. I was like, oh, I really want to go out, or I really want to talk to this guy. But something also the Lord just made me realize is, like, okay, if someone is reaching out to you during this fast and you tell them, no, I can't date, or, you know, go out and just try to see if this could be something until after my fast, if that guy really wants to pursue you, he's going to wait, and he's going to be patient. And that's actually exactly what happened. I had a guy reach out to me, and he's like, hey, I'd love to get to know you more. And I was like, well, I'm going on this fast until March. And he was like, cool, I'll wait for you until then. And we started talking in March, and now we're dating and things are going great. So, you know, it's coming to a place of just trusting the Lord with that and being patient.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Would you say that, like, doing a dating fast can be, would you say it's like an important part of preparing for marriage?
I would say yes. Not everyone needs to go on a dating fast. So don't hear me say, like, you need to go on a dating fast before you get married. Like, it's not this, like, final step, if you will. But for people who really do idolize relationships and idolize this quote significance you get from a relationship, then I would say that yes, it could be a very vital thing for you to do before marriage. Because, you know, I said in the beginning of this call that once you're married, it kind of doesn't mean that everything's going to be fixed. Like, once you're married, then maybe you want a different job, you want kids. Like, it's not like these desires die and you're like, okay, happily ever after. Like, I'm finally significant and now everything's at peace. Like, that's not how that's going to work. And so if that dating fast is really going to help you not idolize relationships, but also realize your significance and your worth is in Christ and not in relationships, then I think it would be a wise thing to do.
So with your dating fast and what you've learned and walking through singleness, relationships, how have you seen your identity or the what you're pursuing change with maybe when you're in a relationship, when you're on your, when you were on your dating fast, you know, when you're really seeking God? What did that look like in those different times, and what have you learned on what to focus on maybe as an individual and where to put your, you know, identity? Because identity comes up a lot in these conversations around singleness. So it's kind of like a core piece of us, right? It's our identity. So yeah, what is, what does that look like in kind of your experience?
Yeah. For me, as I really started taking steps back, whether it was on the dating fast, whether it was reading his word more or going out on dates with the Lord or really meditating on his scriptures, once I really started doing that, it really did help me to become more confident in who God has created me to be, rather than, you know, depending on what man thinks of me or depending on what my friends think of me, whether or not I had a boyfriend. It became this, I'm just so in love with Jesus, I really don't care what people think of me, honestly. And it just became so focused on, I'm here living on earth to do kingdom work for his glory, for his name. And that is what I was focused on, rather than are people thinking I'm significant or not. And so that was just the most major thing, is becoming more confident in that. It also, during that time, really helped me to start realizing what were the things that God was placing on my heart, what was the kingdom callings he was giving me. And it started making me realize various things and patterns that God was like, okay, I want you to go in this, or I want you to start moving in this. And so, yeah, it really just gave me more of a mission mindset, I guess, for where God wanted me to go. But it also helped me to be filled more with love for people, rather than loving people so that I can get them to be in my life, as in like dating them, and just seeing them as a child of God, like seeing this person as my brother in Christ, who I want to love, who I want to serve because he's my brother, not because I want him to be my boyfriend. So those were the things.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Did you see, when you're, you know, if you take the comparison of in relationship, on a dating fast, really seeking God, did you see maybe a struggle to be or to grow and be a certain person for a relationship rather than just to be that for yourself and for your walk with God and to seek that growth?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that was part of the renewing of the mind that had to happen all the time, you know, and that's honestly where my God shelf comes in as well, is because many, many, many times it would come in this mindset of, well, yep, I'm on this fast, I'm becoming more holy, I'm, you know, knowing more of his word and his scriptures so that I can be ready for a relationship after the fast is over. So yeah, of course those temptations came in, but like I've mentioned before, it just means that I have to keep coming to the Father, and I have to keep, you know, submitting these things to him and surrendering these things to him. And I had to keep just being in a place of humility, and it was a daily practice. It was daily submission. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely was a struggle for sure.
Yeah. Do you think people often do things to prepare themselves for marriage, but forget about doing them things just for their own sake?
Yes. 100% yes. And that's where I'm saying is I think a lot of our focus can be so focused on, I need to become this person for marriage. I need to become this woman of God so I can find an amazing man of God. And it's like, no, like you need to become this person because the Lord is leading you to become this person. Like, you know, it, I know I've said it several times on this call, but it keeps coming back to the reason Jesus came to die for us and to have intimacy with us was to save us, not so that we can become this person to be married. Now, I think being married to Christ and that marriage with the Lamb is what we need to have our focus on preparing for and changing for and growing to be ready as the bride of Christ for him, but not ready for an earthly marriage. So,
absolutely. Now, has there been anything else that's been on your heart that maybe we haven't had a chance to talk about yet on this call?
Yeah, I actually had a quote I wanted to share really fast
from
Elizabeth Elliot.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Elliot, she's like the person that I would love to meet if she hadn't already passed away. She's just like my role model. But she said actually in a book that she wrote about her husband, Jim Elliot, who died about a year and a half into their relationship, into being married. She wrote this once he passed away, that your purpose today is to thank and glorify God, not waste today longing for a different tomorrow. Tomorrow may indeed be different, but it may not. We must rejoice in today. It is fleeting. It is a gift, and it can be lived to the full, or it could be lost. And I think that was just a beautiful picture as to tomorrow's not promised, you know, and we need to have this kingdom focus to be living for his glory, to be growing closer to him and having intimacy with him. And we just need to have our focus on seeking first the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so what would you say is a favorite verse or a verse that has been on your heart lately?
Yeah. So a verse that has been on my heart lately, but also a favorite verse throughout the years, and that has been helpful in my time of singleness as well, is Psalm 37, 3-7. It's four verses, so I'm not going to, you know, read the whole thing, but there were just many themes, if you will, or wording and phrases in this passage here that I love. And so basically the wording that I love is, it says that you are to trust in the Lord and to do good. You're to delight yourself in the Lord. You're to commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, but you're also to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I thought all of those were just perfect words and phrases to really carry you through whatever season of life you're in, to wait on the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to be still before the Lord, to be patient, and to truly just be surrendered to him. So I love that passage.
Awesome. So where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So you can find my Instagram at Convos with Kayla, and that's Kayla with an I. I was just telling the guys before this, it's Hawaiian, Kayla, K-A-I-L-A, and I'm not Hawaiian. So, you know, it's unique and it helps people remember things. But yeah, Convos with Kayla on Instagram. I post reels every day.
Yeah.
I write posts that are kind of like journal entries to me, so they're super long, fair warning with that. But yeah, so you can find me there. But I also have a podcast called Convos with Kayla. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, literally
fantastic
network. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
All right. Excellent. Well, Kayla, such a blast having you here for this episode. It's been just so much fun talking with you and just hearing where your heart's at and the cool things God's been doing in your life. So thank you so much for sharing with our audience all of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on here. I loved it.
Fantastic. So everybody out there, we really appreciate you joining for this episode. Be sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends that you feel might gain some value from this podcast. And also be sure to get out there and seize the day. Maximize every chapter of your life. We'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thriving in Singleness podcast. Look for new episodes wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.